The first thing I want to get to is an interesting email about a deadbeat dad. And I'm sure you've heard the term many times before. And it says, "Hi, Niall. I'm looking for some advice. My daughter's father walked out of her life 18 months ago without so much as a phone call. My daughter is now 6 years of age. Her dad and I split up when she was two, but we made agreements that we would take her every other weekend and sometimes during the week, so she could always have her dad in her life. Everything was going fine for a couple of years until about 18 months ago. He started cancelling on her, and eventually he just went off the grid, stopped answering calls, and basically just walked out of her life. I had to explain to my daughter that her daddy was working a lot and that she was really upset for a while. Eventually, she stopped asking, and things started to get back to some level of normality. We've had months, for example, when her friends are there and they're there and they see her, their dads, and I see her little face and wonder what she's thinking, and is she really still thinking about him? Fast forward to now, and he is trying to get back into her life. He called me with a sob story of how he went off the rails, lost his job, was drinking too much, and basically needed time away from everyone, including us. He says he is trying to get his life back on track now, and starting with his relationship with his daughter, and has asked me to help. I told him I needed time to think about this, and the effects it could have on my daughter. What happens if he goes again? I don't know what to do. Should I let him back into her life? There is a risk that he will go AWOL again, leaving her heartbroken. At the same time, would it be right to deny her a possible relationship with her own father? I honestly don't know what to do here. I would love some advice from listeners who might have been in the same position that I am in. Hopefully, you can bring it up in your show." Now, it is something that happens quite a lot. And by the way, it can happen the other way around too. You have women who walk out of their children's lives. For whatever reason, maybe they have affairs, maybe they run off with some other guy or whatever it is. So it can happen both ways around. Primarily, it seems to be men. Women are left with the baby, holding the baby, as they say. Things go well for a while, and maybe they meet another guy or another girl, or maybe they settle down somewhere else, or maybe they leave the country for a while, or they just don't see their child, or they don't seem to care. They're called deadbeat dads, basically. Those who won't pay their way, don't pay maintenance, and just walk out of their children's lives. And some parents will say, or women might say, "Well, that's great. That's grand. At least I'm rid of them. I know where I stand. I'm on my own, paddling my own canoe, so to speak." So essentially, I'm asking, should you let him back in again? Because if he's gone for 18 months, should you let him back into the child's life? You've got to remember, you're dealing with a six-year-old child here. You mess up their mind. Their mind is working in a very strange way. They see their dad and all of a sudden he's not there again. And they're wondering, you know, why is this man who is supposed to be my father in and out of my life all the time? And, you know, that can play mind games with a child. It's also okay as adults because we understand the ramifications, we understand the scenario, we understand everything about it. But what about the child? So if you were in that situation, what advice would you give this woman? If she was your daughter, if she was your sister, if she was your friend, and she said, "Look, you know, Jack hasn't been in my daughter's life in 18 months. He's a complete and utter you-know-what. He's an asshole, basically. And he disappeared out of her life. He's come back with some sob story about, you know, going off the rails and having a few drinks and losing his job, which we knew nothing about, obviously, because he wasn't in contact with her, not even a phone call. And now, all of a sudden, he wants to bond with his daughter again. Would you trust him? Would you let him back in again? Is it fair to the child? Is it fair to the child not to let him back in? Let me know what you think at 53544. Let's take it, by the way, for the purpose of the argument, that she despises him. Because clearly she does, after he's walked out of her life and walked out of her daughter's life. He's clearly an idiot. So she despises the mother, but their relationship shouldn't come into it. Text 53544. I'm asking you, should she let this man back into her daughter's life again? Let me know what you think at 53544. That's 53544. Yes, she should, or no? Tell him to stay well away from her. Let me know what you would think. What would you do? What advice would you give her? Don't forget, you can WhatsApp us as well at 087-188-0008. Sharon, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hiya, Niall.
How are you doing, Sharon? I mean, look, this is a tough one, isn't it? I mean, what do you do? You got to take the child into consideration. Your feelings and your personal feelings about the guy shouldn't matter.
Well, I mean, I'd like to sort of throw two sort of strands of light on this. Firstly, I'm a single mom. My partner walked out when I was pregnant, so he didn't have anything to do with my child's life.
Did he ever see the baby?
But he wanted to come back into his life when Ben was three. Now, he did make quite a bit of effort, and he did regularly turn up for meetings for a little while. Then he got a new girlfriend, and the meetings he kept not turning up, to a point where he actually was supposed to pick him up while I was at work, didn't turn up, and you know, no one was actually there to take care of him. And at that point, I screamed at him and said, you know, either be a father or, you know, get out of his life. And so he did. He quite literally said, well, that's my excuse not to bother now. You know, but I kept the lines of communication open, because I felt it was right that he should always be able to see his son. Ben should always know who his father is. If he so wants to, now Ben's old enough, he's 8, a little bit older than this girl, but he, you know, he's been through being 6 and understanding why his dad isn't there. He's 8 now, he understands why his dad isn't there.
When you say he understands why his father...
Because at the time, I was, daddy's on the, working on the farm, you know, how busy he gets with the cows, da-da-da-da-da. And then it was like, but mummy, you know, daddy used to come and he's busy with the cows, why doesn't he come now? And in the end, I had to say, look, darling, I have to be honest, you know, daddy's got the choice about coming to see mummy and you, and he's choosing not to because he's letting other busy things get in the way. And Ben's now got...
So in other words, you're bottom of the priority list.
I never labour it in a bad way. I just try to give it as it is, because
so you never lied. So you never done that. Daddy's away on holidays or daddy's working.
I said daddy's got a lot to do on the farm. Blah, blah, blah. I never lied, but I softened it to make it easier for a young, impressionable mind to deal with. But now he's older and he's a bright cookie, and now he knows daddy couldn't be bothered. But I said, you know, we were back in the UK last week, and I said, well, we're going over that way, you know, should we see if we can find out what daddy's like? Nah, daddy can't be bothered to come and see me, mummy, I don't want to see him. But fair enough, he's got that right. But if his dad rang me up and said, you know what, I'd love to see him again, I was a
does he even? But does he even ring him, Sharon?
No, nothing. No contact at all.
And does he... this is
I keep in touch
business,
with one of his daughters on
does
Facebook.
Does he pay anything?
He does. He has... It took a long time to sort out, but he does pay a bit. It's not a lot.
Okay.
You know, I keep in touch with one of his daughters on Facebook, and I put pictures of Ben growing up and all the nice things he does, and I share them with his daughter, and hopefully she shares them on to him. But I don't get anything back. Like, oh, God, isn't he amazing? And
I don't even think he deserves that, to be honest
with you. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But I've just dealt with my ex's fight of having to try and see his kids because his wife's nuts. Now, they split up, and my ex was a twat. He went off drinking and fell apart and hid in his farm for a year and didn't come out the door. And because of that, he let the relationship with his children slide. And then he got stronger and better and started living his life again and wanted to try and start seeing his kids, but she totally poisoned them against him. And she was sending texts from their phones, calling him all sorts of horrible things as if it was from them. I mean, she was toxic.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I was just going to say the whole thing became toxic.
Lies and toxic and horrible. And it took me 18 months through the legal system in this country, which deserves a bomb, to get supervised access for him to his children 2 years down the line, because his wife...
And how, by the way, how are you managing, if he's not coming to see the child and he's not even making phone calls or anything like that, I'm just curious, how did you manage to actually force him to pay maintenance?
Well, I mean, I suppose I was in the UK and I didn't have any, you know, it was set up through a system which actually changed last
year. This is the Child Protection Agency or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they
collect the money on your behalf and
they take the money straight out of his wages.
Right,
And give it to me. But when I was moving over here, and he's been decent enough that he doesn't have to now I'm in Ireland, but he still pays something towards Ben, which is fine.
Well, he's responsible. He's partially responsible for the upbringing, yeah.
Yes, but and it's not...
And I'm sure he's getting away financially quite likely, to be honest with you.
Of course he is, but it's not an issue for me that it's not in Ben's life, if he doesn't choose to be, because he wouldn't bring anything positive. But...
Why is it... This primarily men, by the way, that do this, unfortunately, right? And, you know, I'm almost ashamed to be a man to say that, but women do it as well. There are women who, you know, evacuate their children's lives.
Rare,
right?
But yeah.
Yeah, it does happen. But in saying that, I mean, why do you think guys do this? I mean, why... Like these deadbeat dads, what's going through their head? Are they in denial that they have a child?
We'll fall out about this, Niall, but don't get me back to this because it comes back to the referendum and everything. Women and their children have a different connection. Now, yes, there are women that bugger off, and I knew somebody that went off to Australia and left a 4-year-old son with her ex-husband. I found out later why, but I didn't know at the time. But I couldn't understand how it.
I know a woman who left her husband with a newborn.
I mean, I can't understand that. Newborn's different. You could be having really bad,
She didn't come back.
But you know, that's what I mean. I mean, it's different. Situation's different, but generally, yes, of course, it is. And percentage-wise, massively more men that can leave kids alone. But you grow that child inside you. That child comes out of you normally quite painfully, and you don't leave that child's side. Now, a father is, in my mind, is important, but a father is not as physically and emotionally connected.
I'm not going to disagree with you, by the way.
That's why the women have such a strong bond with their child, but also that's why I think they've got a right to choose what they do in their body. But anyway, much harder for a child. You'd have to kill me to make me leave Ben.
Okay, but in relation to Ben, so let's say he doesn't see him for, I don't know, another 4 or 5 years. And when Ben is 13 years of age, you get a phone call from one day and say, listen, he says, look, I'm really sorry, Sharon. I don't know what I did my whole life. I regret everything that I've ever done. And God, I would have loved to be part of Ben's life. Is there any chance that we could arrange, that I could get to see him and have a chat with him and talk to him?
So then, I'd be happy to deal with access through me. But, I mean, I think maybe in this person's situation, she's concerned. And if he's a real deadbeat, or if she's worried that he's a twat and he's going to damage the children, they're brilliant. The woman I got involved with my ex-partner's kids, Sue Fies Access, she was absolutely fantastic. She heard both sides of the story. She went out and took my partner and the kids out for to start off with for an hour, when they just walked around the park and they started to get to know each other. And,
well, like, did she walk beside them?
Yeah, she walked a few steps back. I don't know, I wasn't allowed to be there, but that's fine. She was involved, but loosely involved. She set the children's mind at ease, she set his mind at ease. And therefore, they're starting to build a relationship again. Next time, the following week, it was a 3 hours or whatever.
Okay, so does a child deserve, I mean, in this particular case where the child hasn't seen the father in 18 months and he wants to come back, does the child deserve to have a parent? In other words, is it the child, obviously, she thinks he's a twat and that's fine, right? And the relationship with them is it kind of irrelevant between the parents. But does the child deserve or have the right to have a parent back in their life?
I think she can't make the decision at 6 for that child. I think if you said, if my ex-partner came back in 10 years' time and Ben was 18, he said, your dad wants to know
you
now.
Well, he can do what he wants then, yeah.
Ben's got, even if they, if he got in contact in a couple of years' time and said, I'd love to spend time with Ben, I'd say, I won't stop you, but let me talk to Ben about it. And Ben would probably say, well, Mummy, let's maybe give him a chance, or, I don't want to see him, or whatever. And I say, look, let's just meet him, have a coffee, whatever.
Okay, really Ben sounds like a very logical little kid, to be honest with you, and similar to yourself, Sharon. But stay there for a second, Sharon, just for a second. Let me just go to Audrey. Audrey, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Audrey?
How you doing?
Audrey, what would you do with a deadbeat father who goes AWOL for 18 months and then decides to come back to the child's life after the child, and this mother clearly has said that it took a few months for the child to get over his disappearance. In other words, where they stopped asking where he was all the time. And they're just getting used to it again, getting back into normality, and now he's back again.
It's a hard call. I'd let him. Give him a chance. Mm-hmm. Do they get on?
I don't know the answer to that question, but
yeah,
it's hard, obviously that the mother and father don't get on. That's for sure. I mean,
yeah,
she obviously clearly thinks he's a fool, right? But in saying that, does he deserve to be part of the child's life? I mean, I don't understand this because I have 3 children. I couldn't be away from them for 3 days without contacting them. You know what I mean? So I don't understand 18 months. I mean, a father, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. But at the same time, if the child, I know she's only 6, but if she wants, say, oh, can I see daddy, could you give him a chance? Because women can be just as nasty too.
Oh, I know. And children and children do get used as weapons sometimes in these situations. But clearly the mother is the one looking after this child or these children or whatever it is. And the father is just having the time of his life. In other words, he's seen them when it suits him. Now, obviously, for the last 18 months, it hasn't suited him. But a child is not like it's like a puppy. It's for life. What I mean? Exactly. It's not just when you feel like it.
No, you have to be there for it.
Yeah.
For them, it's It's awful the way that these relationships break down now.
It's it's happening more and more. It's happening more and more. And we're living in a very disjointed world where, you know, children sadly are growing up, you know, in broken families, which is very difficult for children, particularly younger children. You know,
it is very difficult. Mm-hmm. Very, very sad. My heart goes out to them all. Mm-hmm. But if the child, if she wants to see her dad, you know.
Okay. Well. Okay. So ask her and see what she says.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So long as there's no tension, you know.
Okay. Well, hang on, because Lisa, you're on Classic Kids. I'm just looking here. Hold on a second. Some of these texts coming in as well. Sorry, Lisa. Go ahead.
How are you? No, I was in a similar situation. To be honest, I know people are saying that the child is their father, but you see, as you said, it's like a puppy. What happened in my situation was I had three children.
Okay.
My husband went when one was nine, one was five, and there was a baby involved. Now, he had to leave the house, unfortunately, that's what happened.
Okay.
But he was promising them he was taking them every week, and which he did, and for the first few months it was great, and he took them and the whole lot.
Yeah, kept the agreement. You kind of had a mutual agreement, yeah.
He went up, and it was brilliant, and everything was working out great. Unfortunately, then, he went to live in England.
And by the way, what was your relationship like with him after you split up? Was it amicable?
You see, there was domestic violence, so we couldn't. We were mutual. I hadn't seen him down. We agreeable on the kids. He wanted to see the kids. He could see the kids. There was no problem. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. But this went on for a long time. And of course, the older two loved them. They absolutely idolized around you often. So of course, they couldn't understand. And then you'd be getting the odd phone call and this, that, and the other. But the effect I had on my eldest son was horrendous. He ended up in counseling until he was 15.
Oh, gosh.
Because he could not understand
why his father
why
left him.
He was coming. So eventually, after a few, maybe 2 years, he came home and he took them. And he lasted an hour and a half in town with them. And that was it. And I was handed them back. And that was the end of that. Now, unfortunately, as I said, he took a bad road. So my son did try to contact him. Didn't like what he saw. So he wasn't going to go back to him. Now, the youngest girl didn't know him at all, believe it or not. Didn't know him at all.
She didn't recognise him.
She didn't, but she took her once. He took her once to over him. And she panicked.
But okay, so the question really is, does he deserve to ever have
I
a relationship?
So, and I tell you why. How does she know he's not going to do this again? How does she know that in another, maybe 6 months' time, he's going to walk away again? So this little girl is going to become seven. She's going to become eight. She's going to become nine. Who's picking up the pieces all the time?
Her mother, obviously, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, right, this man, obviously, I'm not saying he didn't take, but helping me, probably did take a bad road or whatever, but you can't swan in and out. There has to be stability between two parents and a child. You can't just turn up and not turn up and then turn up and not. You can't do that. Like, I mean, I don't know how she'd work that out. Like, I suppose, like, the poor little girl is already messed up as it is because obviously she knows now. She's thinking to herself, like if mommy says this to her, this is all her Bertie's coming to her. She's delighted with life now. She's going to have dad back. And she's telling all her friends going back to school next week, my daddy's back. And 2 weeks later, he's gone again.
Yeah, I know. And you know, this is the risk. I mean, and Sharon, I agree. This is the risk. This is, you're doing this to a child, Sharon, you know.
Yeah, of course it is a risk. Of course it's a risk.
Big, big risk.
But, I mean, if I was in that situation, in Lisa's situation, or this girl in the email, I don't think I'd be willing to take the risk. I'd just have to piss off.
Exactly, but I did. More or less, that's what happened. But, he got the chances. He got numerous chances. Unfortunately, as I said, he took a bad road, and the younger girl, well, she did get to know him. It's actually a very tragic story, to be honest with you, because he ended up on the street.
Right, okay.
And she ended up talking to him one day and asked him, just said it to him, you're my dad, and he said, no, I wasn't. But she had only glimpsed him. She glimpsed him then, and that was at 20 years of age.
Gosh.
And unfortunately, he died a few weeks ago.
So,
you know yourself, but you see, he lost his chances. He lost his chance.
He had did you say he died?
He died a few weeks ago, yeah.
And how old is he?
57.
Right, he's a young man.
Yeah, 57. I believe he's on the wrong road. He's on a bit of a bad road, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, my son washed his hands of him because he saw that.
And that must have had a profound effect. Sorry, Sharon, I'll come back to a second. But that must have had a profound effect on your children. How old are your children now?
42, 27 and 22.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I'm sure that has had a psychological effect on your children. Well, they didn't have a relationship with their father and they watched his life basically, deteriorate.
It's very, very sad because the younger girl, unfortunately, the chap she met, he lived in the flat underneath him.
Yeah.
And she got the phone call to say that he had been taken out.
Right.
And when we went, then my middle daughter went bananas in the hospital and told us we'd all ashamed ourselves. We didn't look after him, but he said,
well, it wasn't your responsibility to look after him.
But there's no way he's a grown man. Because he was too far gone for him. Don't get me wrong, he idolised his children. The only then two went everywhere with him. He took them everywhere.
And if you don't mind me asking, Lisa, and I'm prying into your private life now, because I'm just very curious now at this stage more than anything else, probably like most of the listeners, but when one of them was a baby and they were younger and that moment when you split up, what was the reason for the split up? Did you just fall out of love?
Domestic violence.
So well, that's understandable.
I think he convinced himself, though, that the youngest child wasn't his. That was a lot of the problem. So he took her one day for an hour and a half and just handed her back. Mm. That was that. So she never really knew him. Now, she always knew who he was, and she always knew his name. And I always kept contact with his parents and his family. We have a great contact. I kept contact with Mammy and also that they knew who she was. But as I said, you see, 3 years ago, and my son went to my son. And I actually rang the hospital myself and I asked him, I said, is he okay? Where is he in the hospital? Because compassion goes a long way.
Of course. I mean, look, you don't just forget about somebody,
I don't marry someone and just kick him in the gutter. You don't do that. But anyway, it was very sad because my daughter went down and my son, and they were sitting there. And he actually said to my son, who's the lovely sweetheart that you're with? And he said, Dad, do you not know who that is? He didn't recognise her.
Right.
That's sad, you see, and that's the other side of the coin.
See, and this is what I'm sorry, Sharon. This is what I was saying just before the break, or just before we start talking about that. Is when you get to this situation, you are messing psychologically with children's minds and their lives.
Mm. And but everybody's situation is different, aren't they?
I understand. Lisa's is the extreme.
Everybody is so you can't apply a blanket rule. Everybody has to make the decisions and the choices that are best for them. In this day and age, dear God, the amount of people that put on social media, oh, I need to make the decision. What do you think? And look for everybody's opinion in helping make decisions. You've got to make your decision from what you believe is
right. No, but I know I agree with you. But you take the girl who wrote this email, or people who might you say might put it up on Facebook. They are looking for other people's advice because it's important, because other people may have had experiences. And if you have a lot of people who have a similar experience with that situation, you kind of say to yourself, well, that's probably what's going to happen. And but I, you know, if it was different. Me, if I was her sister or if I was her father and she was asking me this, I would say, tell him to stay away. I personally, that's what I say.
Giving him one chance, making it, I would sit down and do a written agreement of what you're going to do and what you're going to commit to and stick to that. And if
he won't stick to it.
And if you don't stick to that, and that's it.
But he won't stick to it. Any man, I've said this before, any man who can walk away from their child for months on end
will walk again.
Will walk again. Because clearly he has no emotion, he has no attachment to the children, because I have 3 kids and, you know, I can't go 3 days without either texting them, calling them, speaking to them, seeing them. You know, I have to talk to my children.
Part of you, exactly.
Yeah.
But and there are a lot of fathers who aren't like that, sadly. And having seen it from the side of my ex, who had his problems, had his issues, and he's also, I mean, my ex is from the laundry, so he never knew who he was or where he came from. He had a very difficult childhood. He's always had mental illness that hasn't ever been diagnosed. And when his marriage fell apart, he fell apart. And he didn't see his kids. He didn't leave the house. You know, he didn't, the post part up to the door, you know, he couldn't even get into a room because of the post. The guy fell apart.
And well, that happens to a lot of people, by the way, who have come from that kind of background, because it does have issues on people long term. What a shocking story Lisa has just told. I wonder, does she have compassion in how she feels about her partner's passing? Well, she can answer that herself. Sorry, Lisa. I mean, is that something?
No, I always have compassion for him. Now, unfortunately, he had a mental illness. That wasn't diagnosed later on.
Did the family all go to his funeral? And
I was at his funeral. We were all at his funeral, We gave him a lovely send-off.
Mm. All right. It's a sad story, isn't it? A really, really sad story.
I mean,
now, don't get me wrong. It's also equally sad that he gave you such a hard time while you were married to him. You know, I mean, that's obviously a very difficult situation you were in with him as well, you know. So I understand that too, you know. I mean, and nobody deserves to go through what you went through if there was domestic violence in the relationship as well, you know. Let me just go to Phil. Phil, you're on Classic Hits. Phil, I mean, what would you do? Would you allow this child to have her father back in her life again? Is that a good thing?
Being honest, I would. And I'm thinking more from the child and my own experience as well. I was separated years ago and my father used to come every weekend. It was fine. And then he went away to America for a number of years.
You're breaking up just a little bit, Phil. Okay, he went away to America, so you're missing some of the conversation there. Just got to move your head a little bit or something.
Go back here in the car.
Okay.
He went to America, right? And went away for a period of time. And then he came back again. Now, while he was in America, he was writing to the kids. but the interaction, the physical presence wasn't there. Now, what I can't understand is why we have all this legislation, if I can go off point for a moment, about child protection. And yet we have a situation here where we have a six-year-old who is vulnerable to being left out by her father again.
We have child protection laws, and I know in Ireland they're going to open up, similar to the UK, these agencies that go and will collect maintenance money, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, take it from the wages if necessary. But the problem is, and that's great, but you legally can't force somebody to have a relationship with a person.
No, you can't legally force someone. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm looking at this child of seven.
Yep.
And I'm going to be all excited, normally, naturally, that daddy's back. And hoping, and she's plotting and planning what she's going to do next month, next year, with daddy. And my fear for that child is that her plans are going to be scuppered because he's going to go again. And the very fact that he disappeared, and the very fact that he has lost his job, and now he wants to come back, to me smells very selfish. That he's not even thinking about his child, he's only thinking about himself.
Maybe the guilt is bringing him back more than anything else. Possibly, I don't know.
Well, the kids would have brought him back earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 weeks, as you said yourself, 3 days, you can't go without talking to your children. I mean, 6 weeks, okay, have your phone, do what you need to do, and come back, or remain in contact within those 6 weeks, or 8, or whatever. My understanding is that there was no contact.
18 months.
Yeah. Absolutely no contact.
No, not a phone call.
And he's lost his job. And now he wants to come back into his child's life.
Yep.
So I'm questioning his motive rather than his relationship with his child. So is he using his child so that he can warm his way back in? And I use the word warm. Mm.
Because he is one.
So that he can have a roof over his head. Be fed, be looked after, and by the way, he has a relationship with his child. Until it's time to go again.
So if it was you in that position, you would just say no?
I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
I would speak to the child about it. I would tell the child.
Very difficult to talk to a six-year-old about a situation like that, isn't it?
It's not.
Do you really believe that, you know, a 6 to 10 year old kind of, well, maybe as they get to about 8 or 9, they start to have a bit of better understanding. Will they have an understanding about relationships and why mammy and daddy are not together anymore and, you know, why daddy's not around?
You go into any school in Ireland and kids are coming from so many diverse...
But it's not good for them.
Kids are talking in school.
Yeah, but what the point I'm making is, statistically, if we look at statistics of children who drop out of school, children who get involved in crime, people who end up in jail, statistically, those children come from single parent families and broken homes. And the reason for that is because psychologically it has to have an effect on a child.
I'm a single parent.
Oh no, I'm not. But please don't think I think all single parents are bad people. I'm not saying that. Absolutely. No, you're missing the point I'm trying to make. There are single parents out there who are wonderful single parents. There are, you know, broken homes out there who have dealt with situations very well. But unfortunately, statistically, if you look at the rates for crime, college dropouts, children who don't succeed in life or people who don't succeed in life, many of them, not all of them, but many of them come from broken homes and single parent families. That's just statistically true.
Where abuse was tolerated.
Absolutely.
For years.
Absolutely.
But the homes did not break down.
The point I'm trying to make is you have to deal with these situations in the best possible way. So I'm saying, by talking to a six-year-old about this, I don't believe, and I think I'm a good talker, I don't think I could discuss that with a six-year-old. I don't know how I would discuss that with a six-year-old.
I think at this day and age, we don't give kids credit for their level of understanding, even at an early age. We don't give them credit. We actually don't. Kids are so exposed, and I'm being careful on the way I'm saying this, kids are so exposed to so many different situations. If you want to go back to the recent referendum, I have a friend who has a 10-year-old son, and the questions we were asked about posters that were on the wall were phenomenal.
So you believe they have a better understanding about life than we think they have, yes?
You know, they have a better understanding.
But these are not things that should happen in their lives. I mean, what should happen realistically in a child's life is mommy and daddy have sex, baby is born, mommy and daddy stay together till at least the child is 18 years of age and raise the child together as a well-formed human being. That's the way life should work. Now, it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work like that. I understand.
But aren't they better off understanding that now, that actually life sometimes throws you curveballs, but as long as you sit down and you look at it and you understand and you get support with how to deal with it, that you move through it. And yes, I mean, at some ages they're too young, but you're the only person who can judge your child. Ben knew he started seeing his dad when he was about 3.5, so he was about 4.5 when his dad disappeared again. But he understood even then, and he certainly understood very not far after that exactly what the situation was. He didn't need telling. He worked out backwards, and by the time he was about half, you know, 5.5, 6, so they're not stupid. They're little minds, and they are exposed to so much more now in this world than we were when we were
kids.
I
agree with you, but I don't agree that's such a good thing. But however,
no, it's not. We know there's lots of things that we can't agree that are good things that they're exposed to. Of course not. It's a pretty horrible world. But you know, when he first went to school, he was taken off to meet another little girl because she didn't have a daddy that was going to be coming to sports days and stuff too. So they kind of got to have their own little club, so that when mummies and daddies had mummies and daddies day, or you know, whatever meetings with
the teacher, but you heard Phil would not let this guy back into her life again. And, and I have to agree with Phil on that point.
But you can't judge.
I'm coming from the point of view of protecting the child.
Yes, so would I be, yeah.
100%.
Yes,
if the child
comes around and
says to me, after I tell the child, which I would do, I would tell the child, look, you know Dad has been gone for 18 months. He's after losing his job. Now he's saying he wants to come back. How do you feel about that?
Well, stay there for a second, please, both of you. Somebody says, Lyle, I hate that comment that broken homes resulting with kids with more problems growing up. We would have had more problems if her father hadn't walked out. That comes in from Breda and Cork. Breda, absolutely. There are so many cases where couples are better off splitting up because of the violence that might ensue in the home with the arguing and everything else. And I completely understand the point you're making. I'm giving you statistical facts. Statistical facts, that is, if you look, and I can only gather these facts in the United States because they have a larger population, and scientifically it makes more sense because, you know, it's a much bigger population. When you look at the prison population, the amount of university dropouts or whatever it is, generally speaking, those who come from broken homes or single-parent families are more likely. It doesn't mean that they're all going to end up in jail or all going to end up dropping out. There are some wonderful single parents out there. There are some wonderful parents who have split up and done a great job of amicably dealing with a situation of a broken home. And it's worked out well. You know, but it is an uphill struggle. And I don't want to try and argue on the air that surely to God we can all agree that the ideal situation for any child is with his biological mammy and daddy, provided they're functional and they're not alcoholics and beating the lard out of each other, provided they're functional and everything is fine, that's the ideal situation for a child growing up. How dare you suggest, Niall, a child is better off with a mother and a father? How dare I suggest a child is better off with a mother and a father? What a stupid comment. Of course a child is better off traditionally with his mother and father, provided it's functional. Of course. If it's not functional, well, then it's obviously not better off. Sorry, Breda, just stay there for a second. Let me just go to Joanna. I'm going to be with you in a second, Breda. Joanna, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Joanna?
Hi, Niall. I'm good. How are you?
Good, Joanna. Joanna, getting back to the original story, should she let the father see this little child again, the six-year-old?
No.
No?
No. My father left when I was 3.
Mm-hmm.
For the reason that he thought my mother was perfect, but my mom did not have any money, and my dad didn't like to work. you can see how this okay. is going. So my mother was naive.
So he wanted your mother to go out and do the work and bring home the money, and he wanted to sit in the sofa all day.
No, he hoped my mama was rich so we could drink and, you know, have lots of sex with different women and all sorts of.
Okay, so he was living in the
like
wrong. He was living in the wrong country, obviously. All right, okay.
And I was raised by my mom and my granny, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And when I was about 7, he decided to come after so many years. He decided to come and visit. And to me, it meant nothing.
Do you remember that, did you see him as your father or just this man who came to visit?
No, for I knew he was my father, but I didn't feel a thing. For me, it was just a stranger. It didn't, you know, when you don't have your father for so long, you don't miss what you didn't have, and I didn't. I had a happy childhood. On times that it was Father's Day or anything like that, I used to write cards to my mom and my granny. This man meant nothing to me. I just didn't know him.
But that's a different situation to the one this girl is in. This guy has been part of his daughter's life up to the age of 5, and, well, 5 and a bit, and now she's 6. And, you know, he wants to come back again. He's been AWOL for 18 months.
But there's always a chance that he's going to come back now and he's
going
to leave and then he's going to come back. And that has more damaging effects.
Absolutely.
On a child than, you know, actually leaving for good. My mother never spoke a bad word about my father.
Mm-hmm.
Although, of course, as you grow up, then you
find out what he was like. Yeah,
you understand. And
when was the last time you seen him, Joanna?
When I was 7, my father
Do you care? Is there a part of you that would like to know where he is, what he's doing?
I know what my father was murdered in Bristol.
Oh, okay. I'm
it
sorry
came
to hear
all
that.
Over the papers and everything.
He was murdered.
He was, yes.
Oh,
he was murdered in Bristol. He worked in a meat factory, lived in this house with his new girlfriend and 2 other Portuguese guys.
Okay.
And one of the guys killed my father and the other one with the knife.
So he was... Was he mixed up with the wrong people, probably?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't really.
And was there, when you found that out, was there a part of you that kind of went, oh, you know, I mean, did you feel some level of sadness?
No.
No, you didn't care?
No.
It was just like hearing about a stranger.
I was, I would feel more sorry for my cats than actually...
Then
you know, I didn't know him.
Of course. No, and I understand that. I mean, he played no role in your life until the age
after
of 3.
After 20 years, his family decided that actually they wanted me to go to the funeral and ring me and all that kind of... And you just don't believe those things. It's like for 20 years, they knew where I was. They didn't care if I could eat, if I could study, if I had the roof over my head. And then...
All of a sudden, they're looking for you to go to your father's funeral. Yeah.
He died, and I said no.
Oh, well, stay there for a second, because I want to get Breeda in before the break as well, because Breeda, you're on Classic Hits. Breeda.
Hi, Niall.
How you doing? Did you take exception to the comment I made in relation to, you know, raising a child as a single parent or in a broken home? I mean, did you take exception to that?
Definitely.
Okay.
I don't think whether there's one parent or 2 parents there, I don't think it makes any difference. It's how you bring your child up at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. There's badly brought up children, by the way, you know, when you have 2 parents. I agree with that. But I'm only pointing out the statistics to you. I don't make up the statistics. They're just facts. You know?
It just irritates me. I remember coming home from school, I was doing my leaving cert, and walking in to my mother on a rant in the kitchen, and I was asking her, what are you on about? Well, she said, I'm listening to this bloody radio station, and she said, according to this, she said, you should be on the game and arrested over the weekend. She said, the way things are going.
Right.
Like, oh, but she'd obviously been listening to this broken home thing as well. Like, and
But,
I understand
yeah, but
where she's coming
from.
But
realistically, if we're suggesting that it's not true, and by the way, Breed, I'm not suggesting you, this is about you personally. When I make those comments, I know there's listeners going, how dare you, Boylan? You know, I'm a single woman or a single man, and I've raised, you know, two children perfectly well, and they're in college and they're doing well. And great, I'm delighted for them. I'm not having a go at anybody in particular. But realistically, we have to be logical about this. A child, you know, when you bring a child into the world, the ideal situation would be for that child to end up with two loving parents, you know, for the rest of their life in a nice happy home, you know, go on holiday once a year, have a nice car, go to university and get a good job. That's the ideal situation, isn't it?
But well, we didn't have it, like, and we didn't see any different. We certainly didn't miss out. I mean, I think if anything, our father did us a massive favour.
Well, in your situation, it sounds like he did. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he would have been better off just going. Absolutely. And I understand that. And many people are like that. But statistically, it's just, it shows that when you don't have two parents, you know, in a home, and you only have the one, now I'm talking about obviously the biological parents of the child. But the problem is that it is a harder battle. Because if you've got three children on your own, it's obviously more difficult.
Definitely. I know my mom struggled, like, she was very, very hard, and she had three of us, like, and there was no one there to help her, but if you're a good parent, you do your best, like, and we never saw the negative of it, and my father was never bad-mouthed to us as a child. So
we can see the difference. We can see the difference around the world where we've got the non-traditional families, be it, you know, broken homes, be it single parents, be it same-sex couples, whatever it happens to be. When we see non-traditional, what they call non-traditional families or the non-traditional role, the world has changed. We're seeing a big change in the world. And, you know, and Richie says rightly here, he says, hi, Dal, doesn't your recent exchange just go to show the problem with Western society today? You made a factual statement, which is a factual statement, it's a statement, by the way, supported by research, studies and statistics, yet you were met with emotional outbursts rather than reasoned debate and anecdotal evidence. And with respect, Breda, your story is anecdotal evidence. I mean, okay, you did well, and that's great, and your children did well, and I'm delighted. Nobody's having a go at you personally. But to suggest for a minute that it's better to be in a single-parent family than to be in a functional two-parent family is bizarre, because it's not true. It's actually statistically not true, because if we look at the research in America about the prison population, the majority of the prison population, the majority of murderers, rapists, people who are in prison for multitudes of reasons, drugs, everything else, people who drop out of college, the majority come from single-parent families and broken homes. That's not a coincidence.
You do miss out, like, and stuff as well, like, and it's more of a personal thing, like, between a child and their father too, like. Definitely, there is a disadvantage to it, of course.
Yeah, but that's all I was saying.
And people
are getting all weird about it. I mean, somebody's just texted in and said, I'm going to complain to your radio station. How dare you suggest that?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, so I make a statement of fact on the radio and all of a sudden everybody's getting on their high horse. Yeah, but somebody says, Niall, I don't like your made-up studies. It's not actually a made-up study. It's a 1987 survey of youth custody, which found that 70% did not grow up with both parents. Another 1994 study of Wisconsin juveniles was even more stark, which said that only 13% of the prison population actually were in a two-parent family. Only 13%. That means that the other 87% were in broken homes or single-parent families. That's just a fact. I don't make them up. These are facts. And it's quite logical, but everybody getting on their high horse. Sharon, you're getting on your high horse now as well.
I'm getting on my high horse.
Get up on your high horse if you want.
Yes, I will, because every scientific or factually based study that uses, it's quite easy to apply statistics to assess your data and come out with
But you're
an
getting
answer.
All defensive, Sharon. Nobody's talking about... Yeah, but hold on, but hang on. But nobody's talking about you personally.
No,
you know, I've spoken to you for, you know, a couple of years or whatever on the show, and you sound like a good parent. Ben sounds like a very well brought up young man. Nobody's having a go at you personally, but you know, we have to look as a society at why society breaks down, why children drop out of college, why people get into trouble, why people commit crimes, because maybe they're not getting the right guidance in life.
Let me answer that. The guidance doesn't come from two parents. Look at those studies and look at how they only look at a certain set of data. The data is nothing to do with whether they're one parent fans, really. It's actually due to what upbringing they've had. Now, a large
but surely being a one parent family contributes to that.
Let me finish. Does it? I think there's some pretty shocking families that are together.
Absolutely.
However,
does it take into account, are those families involved with drugs? Are those families involved in, in America?
But you're missing the point. Maybe the child wouldn't have gone down the route in drugs if he had had two parents or he'd been in a happy family.
These are coming from single parent families where the parents have no values.
But Sharon, I'm listening to you. You've gone into defensive mode instead of being realistic.
You're not listening. But you're taking it personally. No, I'm not. I'm talking about what your understanding of a scientific study, which is really incorrect. They haven't looked at other factors that are hugely important into why the people have come down these bad routes, whether they've ended up in prison, murderers, dropping out of college, whatever. It isn't. It's very easy just to tag single parent family or broken home as the answer. What they're not tagging is the amount of drugs, because it's much harder to quantify. What they're not tagging is the moral standards of their upbringing, whether their families have ever worked, whether they've just grown up on the
And do you not think all those things are intrinsically linked?
No, of course not. It's about like saying one of my bugbears is people say Staffordshire Bull Terriers are the worst killing dogs. No, they're not, but they're largely owned by the same demographic of people.
Has it got to do with the demographic of people? I'm not suggesting, by the way, that all parents who split up, because obviously I'm in a broken marriage. My marriage broke down last year. Okay, so I'm not suggesting all parents who are in a broken marriage are bad people, because they're not.
But if you look at the section of the people that they come from, if you look at general society, the proportion of single-parent families in the lower levels are significantly higher. That is my point. You are not looking at an accurate set of data. You're looking at a misreported set of data.
So you're disagreeing with the data?
Factors. No, the data is right on the facts they've taken. It's a bit like saying, okay, so we do a drugs trial to look at a vaccine or something, and we look at 100 dogs, people, whatever, and then we take a statistical analysis of it. But unless all of those dogs are aged 2 to 3, healthy, male, and all the same, the data doesn't mean anything because, one died. Well, it might have died because it was 10, and the other dogs
were 5. But I'm looking at are people texting in here, right? How dare you, Niall? I'm in a single-parent family, and my children have grown up well-rounded. I'm sure they have. What are you all taking statistics personally for? I'm just giving you the stats. I'm just telling you the way it is. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with every statistic, but I'm just telling you the way it is.
Reported wrongly, they used
but,
in this.
But you can say the data is being used. You can say it's a combination of many factors, and I'm not going to disagree with all that. But statistically, it's true. Statistically, the children of those who are in broken homes or single-parent families are more likely to drop out of college, are more likely to end up involved in crime, and are more likely to go to jail. That's a fact.
Because there are a much larger percentage of single-parent families in...
Absolutely. Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that a single-parent family or a broken home, the children are less likely to do well. There are wonderful single-parent families and children who have done exceptionally well from those families. I'm not saying all, but the stats clearly say it's an uphill battle.
No, you're missing my point, Niall.
I'm not missing your point, Sharon.
You are. My point isn't that I'm getting uptight about being you judging aspersions on single-parent families.
I'm not judging anybody.
No, what I'm saying is they are misreporting the evidence, and as are you, because
misreporting any evidence.
No, they are. Listen.
No, you're just saying there's a combination of other factors, which I'm not disagreeing with, and the study probably doesn't disagree with that either. It's just giving you the bottom line. It's saying to you, if you go to the prison population and say, did you come from a broken home? Did you come from a broken home? Statistically...
Yes.
Statistically, 87%, according to one study, of those people in prison, in juvenile detention centres, came from broken homes or single-parent family.
Okay,
that's a statistical fact.
So in council estates in the UK, 90% of people living on the council estate are single-parent families. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the percentage of single-parent families in a certain sector of the... This is across the world. There's always different levels of people prepared to work, people not prepared to work.
Okay, well, why is it when you go to those, what they call man deserts, that's what they're calling them now, right? And when you go to council estates, many council estates in the UK in particular, and you see these man deserts, and the reason they call them man deserts is because there was an article in the paper a while ago that said there was something like one particular area had 95% single female parent families, and the local schools had no male school teachers. So basically they said they didn't have, young people didn't have men in their lives, right?
No.
But why do you think that in those areas the crime rate is higher?
Because
It's not to do with the parent, the man being absent. If the woman was doing a good job at raising her children. However, those sort of people, in general, and I'm saying general because everybody's different, but in general, they have 4, 5, 6 children. They don't worry about bringing them up properly to give them a work ethic and a desire to go out and earn money.
Yeah.
They bring them up with an attitude of you get what you can out of life, and whether you rob it, whether you bludge it.
So you're actually agreeing with everything I say?
No, we agree on that point.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is because in the higher levels of people that work and fill the top percentage of jobs in generally in the population, they come from normally 1 or 2 in their family, not 6 or 7 children. Yes, very often 2 parents.
So, but I'm agreeing with every single thing you're saying, by the way. You're missing this. I'm agreeing with you. But I'm still saying the only thing that we're disagreeing on is the bottom line figure. And the bottom line figure, with all those factors taken into consideration, which I'm agreeing with, that all those factors have to be taken into consideration, the bottom line figure is that statistically, children of single parent families in broken homes are more likely to end up involved in crime.
Yes, of course they are, because statistically, much more of them.
Well, then we can
agree.
Okay.
Are in the problem areas.
Okay, well, say that. Sorry, Elizabeth. You're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
Yeah,
I hate when I fight with Sharon. Sorry, Elizabeth. I mean, you think the father should be entitled to see the child?
Well, no, I don't want to interrupt me because I've been holding on a long time and I have very little time.
Okay.
I'm separating myself 21 years.
Right, okay.
Now, 18 months, that father has probably lost his way. The child is 6. If the mother asks the child and say, your father lost his job, that has nothing whatsoever. The father has nothing, or the losing of the job has nothing whatsoever. A child doesn't even understand that concept. Now, you can imagine the joy of that child if her daddy was calling for her.
Mm-hmm.
The mother will have to leave her bitterness and her poison go. He's entitled to see the child, even if he has to go to court. Now, it doesn't sound as if he has the stamina or the will. In 18, when the child is 18 or 20, it'll all blow up in that mother's face. The child is entitled to see her daddy. He's her daddy. He'll come and explain to her, daddy wants to see you, and he mightn't be able to come again for another 12 months. You soften the blow. You support the child. You do the best. And as regards this broken home business, I'm living here in the middle of the country in Limerick. And all my life it upsets me.
Oh, sorry, don't get upset, Elizabeth.
Because I have done very well. My children did very well. Their father was a part of their life. But there is the attitude that you have. I'm actually...
No, it's not. I don't have... Well, it was not an attitude.
I hear of you on the radio. You're the greater than thou. You wouldn't go 3 days. You're one man. Every man, you have a fine job there. As a radio presenter, I worked as a radio presenter on a local radio. You're supposed to be impartial. You said that woman, oh, you wouldn't let her see the child. Now, I'm saying to her, that's the only reason I'm ringing.
I wouldn't, but I personally wouldn't.
I'm not speaking to you individually. I'm saying to that woman, get a grip. Leave your
I can tell you, Elizabeth, if I was in a situation where...
You're not a woman rearing a child.
Okay, but if I was a man rearing a child...
It's not about you, it's not about the woman, it's not about me, it's about that little girl, and she'd be so delighted if she only saw her daddy once every 12 months. It would help him.
Do you think that's good for the child?
I do, yes. Her daddy...
For the daddy to come into the child's life whenever he feels like it?
No, not whenever he feels like it. You kind of... Get counselling, get
why would you do that to a child?
Why did he do it? You don't know. You don't know.
The child is better off without him.
And you're talking about prison and everything else. Every walk of life, and I'm not from a poor walk of life, every walk of life, guards, teachers, lawyers, doctors, they separate. Broken families is a shit statement.
It's not a shit statement, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, it's not a shit statement, and that's not nice. It's not actually a shit statement. People don't spend years doing research for you to tell you to turn around and say it's a shit statement.
Those people, I'm here 21 years.
Okay, I'm delighted that that things went well for your children, and I'm sure you work very hard at that.
Every day.
But hang on, with the greatest respect, Elizabeth, I'm delighted that things went well for you. And I'm sure you work very hard as a parent, and I'm sure you're a wonderful mother. But to suggest that, people who do research are coming out with shit statements is silly.
Well, it is. I do not want, and
you just don't
want
to hear it.
Mess and everything. I was at mess one day
locally,
some months ago, and they were having this synod about the family. Mm. And this nun went up, and she was reading out the headlines. Not only I had taken an elderly neighbour, I'd have walked out of mess. She was reading out the headings, and there was broken homes. Second relationships, divorce. Now, I feel like standing up in the middle of it all, only that I didn't have the courage, which I wish I had, and it's eating me all the time, to say, what do you know about? Are you representing me in that synod. Well, I ever read.
Well, I don't agree with the church generally on anything they say, but in saying that, the point I was trying to make very clearly and statistically it's been proven, nobody wants to be part of a broken home. It's not a choice in life, is it?
There's buses going to see the Pope with people representing the family.
Yeah.
Now, I am a family. My family are grown up.
Yeah, of course you're a family.
I'm a family.
But who said you're not a family?
I was a very functional family, and my children's father was a part
of
the family.
And I'm delighted, you're missing the point about it. I'm delighted you are part of a family, Liz. And I'm Elizabeth, and I'm delighted that your children did well in life, and I'm delighted that you worked out so hard to be a good parent, and I'm sure you are. But that still doesn't take away from facts. Why are we denying facts here today? What's wrong with people?
You're using very bad terminology.
I'm not using bad terminology. I'm telling you the facts.
Not your place. As a presenter, you're supposed to be impartial.
I'm giving you the facts. They are the impartial facts. And if you don't want to believe them, that's fine. If you want to deny them and use your quote to say that they're shit facts, that's fine. But I'm just telling you the facts.
That the statement broken is a shit statement.
So there's no such thing as a broken home now?
I said, yeah, broken. Broken.
Well, Elizabeth, we have to live in a real world here, in reality. There is such thing as a broken home.
Degrade a family by calling them broken.
But it is a broken
home.
That's
what you're doing. You're degrading the
dignity. No, hold on.
Hang
on for a second. You know, my family is a broken home now. I'm not married anymore. I have three children. I mean, I worry about my children and their futures.
You see, that's your personal from your heart. But you're not a broken home. You're
But it is a broken home. Of course it's a broken family.
It's a separated family.
Oh, right, okay.
You're living apart.
Are we being pedantic about wording now? Is that the way we work now?
Yeah,
is the word broken a trigger word or something for people?
The broken is... Broken.
So we're not allowed to use a piece of terminology that's been used for years where we talk about broken homes. We're not allowed to use that anymore. And is this how politically correct we've become as a society? That we might upset people if we mention facts on the radio?
Yeah, but on the radio you shouldn't have told that woman not to let her husband see the child. That little girl shouldn't
I'll say it again, if she's listening, I wouldn't let her see the child.
If she wants to meet me, give her my number.
To be honest with you, I don't know about the advice you'd be giving her, because you won't even use the word broken home. You're telling me that statistical facts are shit. So, I mean, I don't know if your advice would be the best, with the greatest respect to Elizabeth.
She's these remarks, and they're actually their own marriages. They're sleeping in separate rooms in their 50s.
Well, so I shouldn't have passed any comment on it whatsoever. So what should I do? Elizabeth, what should I do? Should I come in and sit here, open up the microphone, say, here's the topic, everybody else have an opinion, and I'll just sit here like a gobshite for 2 hours?
No, you're no gobshite, but you're acting the gobshite.
I'm acting the gobshite.
You use the word gobshite.
what should I do, Elizabeth? Should I just let you and Sharon and everybody else talk, and sit
Sharon,
here?
No, Sharon, I admire Sharon. Sharon is a great...
Well, I admire Sharon too, and I'm glad we can have a healthy debate.
We'll have to start up an association, because I'll tell you...
The Liz and Sharon Association.
I've got the bus going with the families to the Pope as well. No, nobody asked me. Did I want to put in my name to go to the Pope? Because I'm not a family. And I'll tell you another thing.
You can go to the Pope if you want. I wouldn't be bothered walking across the street to see the Pope. But if you want to go and see the Pope, Elizabeth, there's nobody stopping you from going to see the Pope.
But I'm talking about the organisation of groups representing families. I'm a family here.
You are a family.
My family is closest to my heart. They're away now and they're working and their father is still in their lives. And
that's great.
There's no animosity on any side now. But obviously, when you separate in the beginning, there's always animosity.
Mm.
But you see, then you get more mature. And as you get older, I don't know how old you are, but you might get more mature.
I'm only young. I'm 54.
Well, sure. I'm not that far ahead of you.
Hang on. You just stay there just for 2 seconds? I know you're rushing because James wants to say something to you. Sorry, James.
That word is what
okay.
I said.
Okay, well, stay there just for a second because, James, you want to say something to Sharon and Elizabeth. Go ahead, James.
Well, not specifically for those people, but no, you're completely right about the stats. And we're living in a society now, 2018, where people are getting triggered by words, as you've seen there.
Broken home, yeah.
Broken home. It's by its very nature, it's a broken home. So, you know, I don't
it's
know.
It's my home, it's not broken.
I don't know.
It's my home, Jim.
But you're taking words personally, Elizabeth.
No, I am not. I'm just saying that is why there is discrimination.
Well, hang on. Let James just finish what he wants to say to both you and Sharon. Sorry, go ahead, James.
Well, again, I'm not directing it to these ladies. I don't know their circumstances. And to be quite honest, I'm not really interested in their circumstances. I'm talking about society as a whole. There's multiple reasons not why you're correct. And look, if you have a single parent family, which I come from, by the way, that parent, be it a man or a woman, if they go to do a hard day's work, or some people had to do 2 and 3 jobs, what time then have they got to actually raise the children? So if they're trying to get ahead financially, which a lot of parents do, and it's a very noble endeavour, and they do a great job, They might go out and do two or three jobs when the kids are old enough. They're not there to supervise the kids. That's just evident. I mean, come on, are we going to talk them? If you have two educated parents who have good careers, they'll afford more opportunities to their children. And for anyone to disagree with that is living in la-la land. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm afraid... Are you married, James?
It's irrelevant to my status, whether I'm married
or not. Didn't you say, speak up for yourself? Like, if you obviously... You're well able to speak and you're well educated.
My
so whoever reared you did a good job.
Sorry, did or didn't do a good job?
Well, whoever reared you seems to have done a good job. You're willing to speak.
Yes, the ability to articulate a point doesn't necessarily mean I was raised well, or you don't know anything about my things, so don't presume.
No, but you're very defensive, which you see, I'm saying to Niall Boylan there.
I'm simply saying you're arguing with the stats, and the stats show that. I mean, I'll give you an example, okay? If a lady who is a single mother has to go out and work two or three jobs, okay? She has to do three jobs. How many hours of the week, then, is she taken away from the potential of raising her children?
And by the way, not to be sexist about this, you know, because it does happen as well that women walk out of the family home and a man is left to raise the children. So, you know, that can work either way, because I don't want to come across being sexist about it, but it is primarily, obviously, men that walk away from women.
But the topic this morning was, should desperate girl see her daddy? I say
yeah,
yes,
but you were,
yes,
yeah, and then you gave out to me because I said...
I did, and everybody's giving out to you.
No, everybody
and
isn't
I'm
giving out to me.
I'm sorry for you, really, because you're such...
I don't need your sympathy, with the greatest respect to you, Elizabeth. Nobody, you're giving out to me. Okay, everybody isn't giving out to me. Yes. All right, if it was me in that situation, and it was my daughter, and it was, you know, my wife that walked out of my daughter's life at 6 years of age, and she came back 18 months later, I wouldn't let her near her. That was just my opinion. Right. Am I not allowed to say that anymore?
Yeah, but you don't have that right because...
But you told me, I don't have the right to say that.
Well, as a presenter, you're not supposed to entice hatred.
Well then, if you want to listen to a presenter who just sits there, says nothing and just listens to the callers all the time, I'm sure Joe Duffy is kicking off in about 10 minutes.
No, I'd never rang in a radio station before, but I was very hurt over the conversation, and that little girl would have joined her heart to see her daddy. That's all I'm saying.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sorry, James. Go ahead.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
I know, but a little child
You are being emotionally invested in a topic. Niall is not specifically insulting you or any other person. He's simply saying, here's the statistics that come in, and here is the truth of the matter. The fact that you take personal offence to this doesn't dispute, doesn't in any way, shape, or form take away from the validity of the statistics.
James, I'm not taking personal offence to Niall. And my
You clearly are.
Yeah, he's part of it. I take offence to what you said. But I know that, people are very smug in their own relationship. Of course they're separate.
I'm not smug at all.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm saying from a broken home, it's broken. It's not broken.
I'm sorry, but was your marriage broken?
Yes?
Can I ask you a question? Is it true? Do some marriages break down? Yes or no?
Marriages, I suppose,
Do some of them break down or not? They're unfixable.
They do.
Okay, so they break down. I think the stats in the States is one in two marriages end in divorce. So I would say that is a breakdown of marriage, where they no longer are married. The home is not broken.
The unit is broken.
Well, the unit is broken, but there's one person that is operating outside of the home.
But you see what you're doing, Elizabeth. You're getting all worked up about words. You can call them separated if you want to. But statistically, what they refer to, you know, marriages that are not together or people who are not together as parents anymore, as broken homes. That's statistically what they refer them to as.
You can use whatever politically correct words you like. It doesn't change the facts, and it doesn't change the reality that when a family breaks down, sometimes it breaks down amicably and sometimes it's not so amicably. But the family dynamic is broken down, and every study from every major institution of every credible academic has stated that the best chance of a child has is with two fully functional raised biological parents.
Well, I don't disagree about that at all, but the fact
you just said to James, I don't disagree with that. You just told me earlier on that were shit facts.
What did I say was shit? Broken. The word.
You also said, when I said to you statistically that children who come from broken homes and single parent families are more likely to end up involved in crime, you said they were shit facts.
Well, I think you're mixing me up with Sharon. I didn't say that.
No, Sharon never used the word shit.
I said the word The only word I would say for was broken. Broken, broken, broken. Remember that, because I didn't use it for anything else.
And then you gave out to me for saying that, you know, I shouldn't have an opinion.
But,
Elizabeth?
Yes?
Will you accept the word fractured instead of broken, or what words are we allowed to use? See, now, this is another thing with the...
fractured might be PC better. Brigade. It's a bit gentler.
Why is it better?
Because when those children go to school...
What about ruptured? What about decimated? What about destroyed?
What about the children when they go to school and it's broken and they come home? Yeah, the children go to school then.
Do you think the children's worst problem is broken? Do you honestly think a child coming from a decimated family... in a bad circumstance, do you think the worst thing in their life is going to be the word broken?
Isn't that the way to say it?
Get with the program, woman. You're in la-la land.
No, because I'm thinking of Niall Byland's children. Of mine are grown up now. I'm thinking of that woman.
Well, thankfully, you know, I mean, my children are grown up, to be honest with you, Elizabeth. I don't have that big concern that some people might have when a family breaks up, but when the children are a young age.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, I'm thinking of everybody's child in the country who's starting off school now, whose parents are living apart. Now, is the Irish teacher's attitude... You can't actually blankly do that
because each individual, you have to treat people as individuals and each individual circumstances is different. So you can't just throw everyone into the same in the same category because there'll be families out there who are broken up because of a violent parent who treated that family disgracefully. There's other people who just break up over financial pressure. There's a whole multifaceted reasons why families break up, and you can't just throw it into it's okay, they're all under the one thing and you're thinking about them. There's a multitude of reasons why they break up, and to do that is an oversimplification of a complex problem which you clearly don't have a high understanding of, and you're more concerned with words as opposed to policy or analysis or any kind of scrutiny.
With the greatest respect, Elizabeth, you seem to be more concerned with your fact you're getting offended personally.
No, I'm worried about children being late.
You came on the air all, you know, very... And I was sorry to hear you get a little bit upset earlier on when you thought your own circumstance. And by the way, I get upset constantly when I think of my own personal circumstance too and the future of my children as well. So, I mean, we're all entitled to get a little bit upset again when we think about our own circumstances. But in the bigger picture, we have to think of society as a whole. And that's what we're discussing today. We're not discussing Elizabeth, or we're not discussing Sharon, or we're not discussing anybody else. We're discussing society as a whole and the way we deal with things.
Ireland, we're very backwards.
Meant to do it objectively as well, by the way.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the problem is nowadays, James, you can't discuss anything objectively because people complain. And, you know, and that's the problem as well with the media and with radio, and people will come on the air and say, oh, Boylan, you're supposed to be impartial. This show in itself, we have what they call an audience expectation, and we've had many complaints to the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland about the way I speak. Most of those complaints, or should I say all of those complaints, touch wood up to now, this point, have all been rejected because the Broadcasting Authority accept that on this show that I have sometimes do have an opinion, but as a caller and as other callers are entitled to come on and challenge that opinion. That's the way it works. Otherwise, we'd never have debate. There'd be no debate anymore, Elizabeth. Why don't we just cancel debate altogether and nobody's allowed to have an opinion in case we all offend each other? Sorry, James, I have to wrap it up, but James, just...
No problem.
I appreciate that, but I mean, a lot of people are texting in and said, where did you get your facts and figures? Look, if you just do a quick Google search, there are numerous studies in relation to this. The particular one that I quoted was, it's called the Survey of Youth in Custody, and they did another survey back in 1994 in Wisconsin as well in America, and they studied the whole prison population. So you can look it up. It's online there. I think it was a woman called Cynthia Harper originally did the study. James, thank you very much indeed. All right. And thanks to Elizabeth as well. All right.